I'll explain the significance of the song in a minute or two. That is Breath of Heaven by Amy Grant, and there are a shed load of versions of it on YouTube if you want to catch the words. Roy's not well, he's in hospital. He went yesterday and something not quite right with his heart, so he's probably had a miserable night in the assessment unit at Royal United Hospital, and needless to say, Lee was upset, so we want to pray for both of them. We've got a few people with the usual seasonal things at the moment. Wendy and I are suffering from her cold. Five o'clock in the morning. Can I get you anything? No, it's just a tickle in my throat. If it's tickling your throat, why is it making the bed shake? This is a little bit on the phone. Although, no, I'll keep the story for when she's here. Rolf has had sickness and vomiting a couple of nights ago, so I don't know how he is now. And Johan's got a heavy cold, and Alan's still in Canada. So these sort of things happen. Don't read much about them in the Bible. I'm sure they happened to people then, and they had to push on through and read the Psalms and find a good place in God in these things. You know, sort of, there are plus sides with some of these things. All my t-shirts have been ironed because Wendy's stuck indoors. I could iron my own t-shirts, but I would only iron the front. Well, actually, I only iron this bit. But let's pray for Roy. This is serious stuff, guys. Father, I'm thinking about Roy's story of how just a few years back he turned to you. Because there had to be something, there had to be a future, and he wanted to engage with it. And we know about Linda's story, where she is and how she's struggling, and almost seems as she was here with us last week, stayed through to the talk, and there's a bit of pushback there. So, Lord, we're coming to you, and we're saying, be with Roy, we pray. That the people who are testing him and poking him around will come to a quick diagnosis and let him be home again very speedily. Lord, we pray that this will be a time of great victory and great openness to your involvement. Amen. I think the best thing is if you want to make contact with Roy or Linda, do it through me at the moment. Just to keep the line straight, we'll text out. We're quite careful about how we use text because it's not unusual for us to get a message from somebody in church saying X is very ill, would you pray for them, and we text that out, and then somebody contacts them and they say, what do you mean I'm very ill? You know, and so we do try to make sure that we don't use that sort of, we use those channels for good news really easily, but when there is something like that. So when we know a bit more about Roy, we will put a text out, but I wouldn't really expect that during the Sunday. You know what hospitals are like. What we do know is that he needs sleep. I've spent some time in that assessment unit, and I know Jade has spent time in a different one quite often, and it's not a good place to sleep. It's just about the noisiest places on earth, but probably the best possible place to be if you're not well. So I'll be before the Lord as I'm speaking this morning. I'm looking forward to what I've got to say, but I'm not used to taking a whole service. Somewhat tiring. And write the title for this series, which is going to run for 4 weeks. I'm going to do this week, next week. There's going to be an introduction to it. Donna's going to do a session in fruitfulness on the front line and shaping culture. Then we'll be back to another 2 weeks. Epiphany. Epiphany, word for revelation, showing up, shining up. And it's normally celebrated on January 6th, 12th night, day when we're supposed to have taken decorations down. It marks out the, some of you have still got a marked related sign, so it's, it marks out the revelation to the Gentiles, because traditionally it's the day when the guys from the Far East turned up from the East. Anyway, we don't know how many there were of them. They brought three presents. There may have been two of them bringing three presents. There may be a dozen of them that had a whip round for three presents. We don't know whether they came on camels. We don't know how far they came from the East. They might have come from Canning Town, for all we know. They came from a way away, anyway. They weren't, as far as we know, kings, even though that status, I think, is given them. Could you put the lights on? I'm scared of people can't understand and not notice. Tradition has it that they were kings. They were astrologers. They were people who were looking after the spiritual side. They were in the realm of spiritual revelation. They were interested. They were into alternative religion, we'd like to put it today, and that opened them up to God. In fact, there's a sort of thought that it may have been up to 2 years after Jesus was born that these guys turned up. The reason for that is that when Herod had the children killed, he had the boys killed who were under 2 years. And while he would have probably been putting a safety margin in that, we've got no idea really about how that happened. But we do know that there came a point at which the guys turned up. And one of the things that is a difference between Luke, they talk about Jesus being an animal's feeding place in Luke. And in Matthew it talks about when they came to the house where the young child was. It seems reasonable to assume that they would have moved to better accommodation as it became possible. But I'm going to just concentrate on a few verses from Luke 2:16 onwards for, I don't know, about 10-12 verses after that over the next four sessions. So we'll start from there. Okay, so the shepherds hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. It's nice to be able to turn that into a sort of proto-cradle. It just says lying in the animal's feeding place. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So we normally finish the Christmas reading after that first sentence, don't we? But what I want to pick up is the reaction of Mary, which was so different to the shepherds. Shepherds told everybody they came across. Sounds as though Mary didn't tell anybody much. It said that she treasured these things. Thank you. I need to drink. I need something stronger than that. I can do that. I'm not good to carry a hip flask on a Sunday morning. But yeah. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What's to ponder? To consider, mull over. Excuse me, my gone sideways. No. I don't know what. Okay. That's what he doesn't know for me anyway. It's okay for you, it's just that I can't work sideways without pulling my head around the other way. All sorts of words for ponder. Ponder. I can't quite remember how I got to thinking about pondering, but I'm pretty certain that it was triggered initially by a post that Charlie Slum put on Facebook. I was reminded of it, because I don't normally check Facebook, by Rosie. It was well before Christmas, because Rosie mentioned it in the quarantine meeting. And the story is this, that Father Christmas came to Charlie and said, what would you like for Christmas? Charlie said, I'd like a uniform. Father Christmas said, be reasonable. All right, she said, but I would like 5 minutes so that I can go to the wee in peace and I can drink my coffee while it's still warm. Father Christmas replied, all right, what colour uniform do you want? For some of you, the possibility of pondering seems pretty remote. But given the fact that Mary, who was a mum, I've got a little baby to look after, for whom washing took a lot longer than it does for you guys, and had lots of responsibilities like you guys do. She was able to treasure things and ponder them in her heart. So it's possible. And really, what I'm after in remixing Epiphany, remixing Revelation, is to say, it seems to me that there are some things that we can do that put us in the way of becoming more aware of God, more aware of His presence. And if we can isolate those things, identify those things, and get intentional about them, then it's likely that we can remove some of the barriers that we have in our life. You know, I get plenty of time to ponder. Sometimes I will ponder and ponder and ponder all day long, and particularly if I'm writing something up, I will get very preoccupied to the extent that we'll be in the middle of a meal and I'll leap up from the table to find a piece of paper to scribble something down in order to capture it. But don't always ponder. I don't always think deeply about things. I can walk for half an hour and get to the end and think, what was I thinking about during that time? And my mind would have gone all over the place. But here's something for you to try and talk to one another about for a couple of minutes. We've got time to do this morning. How do you treasure? How do you ponder? Okay, how do you do it? How do you treasure? How do you ponder? Talk to one another about it. Won't worry about writing things up, and we'll get some feedback afterwards. How do you treasure? How do you ponder? Okay, let's stop. I realised that I started doing some pondering myself, and it was getting a bit out of my way. Let me just give a heads up. I'm going to ask somebody in particular to just give us a sort of window, if they can, into pondering and treasuring, particularly the things that God has done in the past. In a minute, Phil, when we've got some feedback, could you try and do that? What sort of things do you find yourself thinking over and reflecting on that God has done for your family in the past, in particular? Okay. But how do you do it? How do you ponder? What's the difference between pondering and wall gathering or whatever, just letting your head go all over the place?
Your mind just keeps turning it over.
Yeah. Sometimes my mind turns things over, and it will actually be about something that's not terribly profitable. Mm-hmm. But we'll come to that. But let me just think, I can watch a TV program, and I can find myself thinking and muttering about an inconsistency in the plot. I suppose some people would think of that as pondering, but it isn't. I don't think it's like a treasuring and pondering. But
it's a deep person.
Yeah.
It's still pondering. It's just not necessarily in a very
profitable, is it? I was in, soon.
I find I need something to focus my pondering. I quite often use chewing gum. There's something that I want to. I have a piece of chewing gum in my mouth. Every time I chew it, I think, no, you shouldn't be thinking about what we're having to tea tomorrow. You should be thinking about, you know, you've set aside this time to think about
it. Okay.
And I just need that sort of physical something to, or a posy note in front of me or something.
You have a bed with bedpans? Because your chewing gum moves the yes. People are strange, aren't they? pondering. And how do you make sure you treasure things? See, I think part of the problem is we let things go. With family stuff, the way we treasure things is with photographs.
Mm.
Yeah? You can come back. And there's a photograph that we can show to Toby and Daniel, and we will be able to show Harry later on, of Matthew sitting on the floor in the kitchen doing something which is terribly uncool and you wouldn't associate with Matthew. He's got a spoon and he's found a jam jar somewhere and he's actually digging the jam out there. You know, Matthew Foley. There's a picture of Susanna while we're at Longville on the Bondi, and in the background is a tank called, it's still almost full of rainwater from the night before, but she's acquired a friend from somewhere. You know, it's what girls do when they're about 8 year old. They land on a camp, particularly if you've got three brothers, they go off and they find a friend, and that either makes a holiday or unmakes it. But then with other things that are more important, we tend to let them slide because no certificates are issued, no badges are issued, no photographs. What sort of things do you find that you ponder on as now a mum and a grandma?
Well, I was just saying to Rachel to Michelle, I don't think I pondered as much when I was younger. But as you get older, those things, like when we were away on holiday, I was more treasuring the times we had with the family because they were, you know, I knew they were going to come to an end very quickly, you know, being able to cuddle your grandson and put me to bed and stories. So.
And of course, all these things do come to an end pretty quickly, they change. It's very different. But there are things that I ponder about our kids, and I would encourage you to spend more time pondering this stuff than whether they're going to get good GCSE results or all that sort of ephemeral stuff. But I think of the time where Simon was part of a group that was actually on a sleepover at the house in which Carol lived. There were 7 young women in there. How they managed to add the teens group to that as well, I don't know.
He used to leave the house.
Yeah, but he'd come back and there was something he wanted. He must have been 13 or 14 at the time. But he was overwhelmingly excited. And on this occasion, it wasn't a girl that he was excited about. He was excited about the fact that he just had opportunity to pray with one of his friends and lead him to Jesus. I think of Matthew when he went to Andy and Philippa's group down at the Baptist church, where one time he came back and he said that somebody wanted to pray and they'd gone into the hall and they prayed and something weird happened. It didn't appeal to him, but he knew that something had happened. Think of Susanna when she was healed, when she was away at Faith Camp, and what had been a heart valve that was wrong subsequently changed. So the next time they took the x-ray or whatever it is they used, it changed. Think of the time when Luke, who was being, and I cannot find a polite word to describe him, so I won't describe him, he was consistently being one of those. Complete bottom, he really was. Every single which way things were going wrong, and at that particular juncture he'd been grounded for a month. We didn't ground people for a month without reason, only time it was ever done. And during that time God met him. accepting the ire of your children sometimes is significant for those things we look back on and we treasure, along with other things, along with the fun things, the stupid things as well. So his Mary, she's treasuring, she's pondering. It's really quite important about this business of treasuring them in her heart, because later on, at the end of that chapter, you remember after the episode where Jesus wanders off, yeah, from the people. And it's nice to think about the fact what ineffective parents Mary and Joseph were. 2 days later, they realised he was missing. They assumed it was some urgent about your Mary saying to Joseph, "I thought you were looking after me." Mary, hey, where does spiritual discernment? You can see angels, but can't even look after a 12-year-old kid. Anyway, that's another talk for another time. I was interested in this little thing that I came across.
There isn't a lot of scripture about Mary, but there are 2 different times in the life of her journey with Jesus that we see the writer specifically talked about her being being a ponderer, that she's pondered. And yet, she's got a perfect child. So you're wondering, okay, if she needs to ponder with a perfect child, how much more the rest of us who don't have perfect children, who don't by any stretch have perfect lives, need to really step back and make pondering a practice of our life. Because you see, the word ponder means to think or reflect deeply. And too often in this culture, we are so busy moving in too many directions that we don't ever have a chance to really hear the voice of God. And it's in those quiet moments, it's in that being still, that we can really hear his heart and we can really get an idea as to what he wants for us and how he wants to lead us and how we can trust him. And so by really practicing the blessing of pondering that Mary practiced, women everywhere will really bless themselves, they will bless the people they love, their relationship with Christ will be so much richer and so much deeper. So that's why we're inviting women to join us in the journey, because they just take the moment, maybe 5 minutes at least per day, to be still and to really reflect, it'll begin to change their lives.
Okay, we'll come on to the practice of pondering in a little while, but just take that for a moment or two. The idea of just taking 5 minutes when you're aware of God. There are some people who are really good at journaling. My current journal, I think, has been running for 4 years. If I write in it once a month, I'm surprised. Occasionally, if I'm feeling anxious or things aren't going well or I'm tangling with some difficult decision or problem, I'll write in every day for a while. But there are people I know who pray in that way, who actually start by writing the word yesterday at the top, and then they write for a little while, and then they write today. And it's their way of pondering and logging what God says to them. I know others of you have different ways, but just finding that little bit of quiet. So, here's a question about the pitfalls of pondering. Nigel sort of inferred that pondering doesn't imply that it's necessarily good, bad or otherwise. Chance for you to discuss with one another what's the downside of pondering. Let's have a look at the downside for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we all know about the downside. Let's say, why don't you talk about the downside of pondering?
Just it can all become very negative.
Negative?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gets worse, and bitterness gets worse.
Yeah.
Burn it there.
Sorry?
Burn it there.
Yeah, you spend too much time doing it. Yeah, that can be good pondering, though. No? Rough on the dinner, but...
you can worry.
Yeah. Do you know, I used to find one of the worst possible times, and we haven't got a very big garden, have we? But one of the worst possible times was when mowing the grass. We had it was one of those stupid 12-inch cork-cast hopper things that took forever. Were only suitable for trimming the moustache, really. But it just took ages and ages and ages to do. And I would find, particularly in the early years, when Dayspring was a very high-risk enterprise indeed, almost from week to week, if the church had survived without blowing apart for another week, then you thought it was doing pretty okay, but then you've got the next problem coming up. And I did two things. One, I got a bigger mower, so I couldn't spend so long with what was essentially a potentially negative exercise. And I plugged myself into listening to something positive. I wouldn't mow the garden unless I got my fifth generation iPod out, mm-hmm. and was listening to a talk from someone. I needed to put good things in. Tech, which we talk about from time to time, I'd encourage you to look at if you have a struggle with this. And if you want, you can ask me about it, certainly you can ask Carol about it. I'm sure she's heard me preach on this enough times to be able to do the deconstruction that we do on this. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. It's the problem. When bitterness grows up, it becomes a stronghold. Stronghold, and that is a castle, but it's something that's got a stronghold on you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We demolish arguments. It's funny, isn't it, how you start thinking about something, and in the end, it requires a degree of inevitability. This has happened, this has happened, this has happened. The word ponder in Greek is the word sumballo. S-U-N, well, transliteration would be S-U-N-B-A-L-L-O. And the word ballo is to throw. Sum is together. To ponder is to throw things together. And once we start throwing things together, you know those machines they have on the, what's it called? Lottery. You know, that's doing a sum ballo, that's pondering. And something comes out, and it comes out in a sequence. And once it's out, the sequence almost seems inevitable. We demolish arguments and every pretension. Pretension is something that pushes itself forward, isn't it? A pretender to the throne, yeah? Pushes itself forward. And then we take captive every thought. So what happens is you get a thought. The thought starts to push its way up to become a pretension, negatively. Mm-hmm. Around that pretension grows a logical argument. Yeah. It's like this. This has happened. Inevitably, the consequence of this psychological process involved there, particularly in depression, is called catastrophizing. Heard of catastrophizing? When you actually start to work through. In fact, those of us who are good at planning are also often very good at catastrophizing because we project forward. And in the end, that becomes a stronghold. And you're walking around as though the thing you feared has really happened. In fact, Job said all those centuries ago, that which I have feared has come upon me. Well, at least he said that in the authorized version. I don't know what he said in the original language, but it was something like that. Anyway, so pondering can be problematic unless we focus our minds on Jesus. That's where we start. And this is the things that God has done, the things that Jesus has done, thinking about Jesus. Here I am in the presence of Jesus. Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? Is there anything I need to know? Is there anything I need to adjust? What's the good news? Sometimes it would come out of nowhere. I'm not going to tell you what I was pondering about, but I was sitting doing some reading. I was reviewing a book that I want some of the guys to read. There's quite a lot of stuff now about what God has got for the over 50s. Seems to be a current move around that. You see it in the secular area as well. And I was reading the book and a couple of verses jumped out at me. And I thought, wow, I have been thinking in this way. I need to think in this way. And it started a process of pondering, which is still going on. If I don't watch it, I'll be preaching on that instead of what I should be speaking about. What was the purpose of pondering? What do we expect to get out of thinking over things? Is it just to fill our head up with good stuff? Is it just to have something to think about when there's nothing on the telly? Or one of those moments where we've got nothing else to do? Yeah? when Woman's Hour comes on and driving up her parents, and I do not wish to listen to any more about people's plumbing. I want to find something else to prove. I know it's somewhat the sexist to say, but I can't help it. Probably drives me crazy. You find yourself with spare time. No, it's something that you focus on. Jude. Ever read the book of Jude? Strange little book. It is really a very negative book. Jude is preoccupied with people who are trying to undermine what's going on. And then right towards the end, almost at the end, after that, he says now unto him who has loved us, you know, the blessing that we sometimes use. He says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. You know, something struck me in the songs we were singing this morning. We did three, didn't we, in the end? But every single one of them ended up with some reference to eternal life and the second coming. Mm-hmm. When he shall come and shouts of acclamation. And the second one was, when with the ransomed in glory his face at us shall see. Third one was, no more doubt thee, bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. You know, actually being aware of where life ends up makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But here's the thing, this is an odd little sentence, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, I'd be interested to see what you think that means and how you would do it, and praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, praying in the Holy Spirit sometimes actually means praying in tongues. I don't think it always means praying in tongues. It certainly means not praying off a prayer list. Okay? It means praying as the Holy Spirit leads us. Here's the thing. What on earth is this about? Keep yourselves in God's love. Now, that's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Or is it? What does it mean to keep yourselves in God's love? Okay, answers on one side of the paper. We've got any how? No, you've got 2 minutes. Okay, who's going to unstack that for us? Keep yourselves in God's love. What was... Why did you... What was Jude saying? Why did you put it that way?
It does mean, yes.
That
sounds really Jewish, doesn't it, you know? Follow all the
laws
and do the right things, you know.
It probably was.
Don't know if
it was
Jewish or not.
It's sort of, you know, it's just not enough, is it? Though?
Yeah. But Gillian, you look to say you've got great insight about
that. Well, I was thinking that if we don't keep ourselves in God's love, it's very difficult to reflect God's love in our day-to-day life. So it's reminding ourselves to keep God's perspective on situations.
Okay.
Is it the fact that God's love's not changing, but we're fickle? So we can actually not choose to be in that sort of place where God's love. So if we're saying, you know, because of these circumstances, God can't be in control, or he isn't in control, or he's not doing the right stuff, we're actually not being...
So basically, your head's going on a journey
that
is inconsistent. And guys, when you're reading the Bible, read... to expect that there's an underlying consistent message that is fundamental that runs through it. Think about what the fundamentals are. God's love never changes. Right? So whatever interpretation you're going to put on that, you're not going to come up with an answer that says, oh well, we can be in God's love, or we can be out of God's love, so God don't love us anymore. That is crackers. You know, that is not where you... If you end up there, you're misreading the text. Okay, so you have to go back again. You allow what's on the page to say what's on the page, but if you do that, you know, like the guy, and this is the classic example, who said, God, speak to me, and opened the Bible and put his finger on there and said, and Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, Lord, he said, what does that mean? I need some confirmation. He opened the Bible again, put his finger in and said, go and do that likewise. You know, you can make the Bible say anything, but it gets together. But the consistent thing is about keeping ourselves in God's love. Now, we can engage in head processes that make us think God doesn't love me. If this happened to me, then how can that come from a loving God? No, we start from the fact that God loves us. Mm-hmm. We watched that tsunami program last night when we just got round to watching it. There was nothing else to watch on the telly, so we watched that. And it was fairly poignant because we were caught up in a tsunami scare and we were in one of the places where which was most devastated by the tsunami at the time. And you can look at that thing and you think, now this isn't the evil of human nature that has caused this. This has got nothing really to do with development issues. This is just something which we should think of as an act of God. How can a loving God? No, that isn't where we start from. We know that God is loving. We know that God is all powerful. There may be things that we don't understand. Now, that's easy for me to talk about in those circumstances. In my own life, it becomes more difficult. So, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God, and that is how pondering starts. Of course, if you do find yourself in a position where you can only ponder when you're tired, when you get isolated, if you're depressed, it can be really problematic. But whether you're depressed, whether you're on a high, the practice of pondering, and of course this is where those of you who know the way that we're working here will see that we're actually going to be talking about practices, spiritual practices, over the next few weeks that open ourselves to revelation. How do we practice pondering? Okay, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Okay, so what circumstances do we not need to rejoice? Tell me some circumstances in which we don't need to rejoice. Anybody got a circumstance in which there isn't potential for rejoicing?
Suffering of others.
Yeah. But you see, the hooking into that is this issue of the goodness of God. So we identify, you know, never mind brother, God's in control. The sort of old, trivial, classic Pentecostal response. Yeah, that would have been problematic. But we seem to have turned that into a religion all on its own. You know, the goodness of God. In our minds, it's not necessarily the first thing you come out with, but one of the things you always do. If somebody's got a tragedy in their life, talking about why is not a good place to start. Rarely a good place to start, because we don't know why, because we're not God. But you're right, that can be an area where it's very difficult. But then, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. This is Paul trying to get locked down in the last. He must be getting close to the end of the parchment, and his amanuensis is saying to him, come on, you've got to concentrate this stuff here. And so he puts a few of these things, and then suddenly gets expansive again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, see, in every situation, and always in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Right, he says. Have you got a couple of inches left? Sharpen your quill. Let's go for it. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, dismiss such things and think about the negative. Yeah? Think on these things. That's where you get your pondering stuff from. What's happened to it? What is praiseworthy? What
is excellent? What is wonderful? What is good news? If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay? Daniel FaceTimed us a few evenings ago, suddenly around about 7 o'clock in the evening, and he was really pleased. His mum was really pleased. She hadn't, obviously hadn't been worked to that day, because she and Daniel had finished off the Lego we brought in, which is something colossal from Lego Movie that had got sort of lots of bits on it. And it was for a 10-year-old, and he's 6, and he'd finished. That was excellent. It was admirable. Now, it's a simple thing to think about. There are all sorts of other things that are admirable about progress. You know, Nathan has some ups and downs still, yeah. And I'm going to talk about you now, and I'm talking about you, so you don't have to read it with fun. We had some guests with us on New Year's Eve, and it's something we don't notice very much. But this friend of Carol's, who spent a lot of time working with young people over the years, said how much Nathan has changed. Right? That's very easy. Those who hang around with Nathan, sometimes he can be a miserable bottom.
Yeah.
Miserable bottom.
Especially last night.
Yeah. But then, you think about how it's changed. The process that God's involved with. That's true. Some of you have changed as well. I hope I'm changing. Me too. Goodness knows I need to. See, and then he finishes off, he says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. This is all about being peaceful. Mm. Pondering can make us peaceful. Mm. So he goes into practice for pondering. I'm going to pray for a minute or two and we're going to finish. Mm. And when we pray, I'm going to ask for a response. I'm going to do this issue for 4 weeks. Very simple response. Not a big emotion of Pentecostal or evangelical power. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to say, if you feel that God's speaking to you, just anchor it by sticking your hand up. And we're going to say every head bowed and every eye closed, because nobody else is business, basically. But by sticking your hand up, that allows me to pray for you specifically and pray for you during the week. It also means that you're putting down a marker and saying, yeah, this is something I need to make progress in. So let's close our eyes just for a minute or two and just see whether God is talking to us about getting into good practice in pondering. It may be that we've been opened up to the possibility of pondering. It may be that we're seeing there's a purpose in pondering. And anybody who wants to raise their hand, there are some people who are saying that, yeah, they're in that position where they know that there's something there that God wants to do with them. Okay, but once you put your hand up, I was putting down going, we're praying to that. Let me pray for those who put their hands up, and I'm going to ask God to do this. Father, I pray that somehow, because your Spirit is powerful and because your Spirit has promised that he'd bring things to our minds at the right moment, that there will be occasions for these guys who have expressed their desire to move on in, to pondering on the good stuff, to throwing together the things that you've done. Lord, I pray that during this week they will find themselves making a step change, and that out of this step change will begin to be a glimmer of new light, new revelation about you and your purposes. Lord, that they may realise that you have not finished with them yet, that there are still things you want to do in their lives that they might go wow about. And Father, as they dig down and find the treasures that you've left with them, that they might find something new and excellent and something that will be a springboard for what comes next. Amen. Amen. If you get a chance, read the latter part of Luke 2. Next week, I want to talk about the class system and how it affected what happened with sacrifice. Okay? So you can dig that out, and I probably won't mention that in passing, but that's what we're really going to be starting with. Thank you.